This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The guys that they had coming back, for sure. And then the vets that they already had there, I mean, they can only get better, for sure. And I think coming out, I just want to do my part to help the franchise, you know, get better and help us reach our goals as a whole.
That is the Bulls' first round pick, Patrick Williams from Florida State, 6'8", 225. And I'll be honest, like I didn't quite know what to expect coming in because we didn't take any calls on the draft show with Chuck and Bill. And I didn't check the text line too much at 312-644-6767. Feel free to chime in now. I'm Rick Camp here with you till midnight. Follow me on Twitter at Rick C. Camp. I mean, people are really not happy. And I don't know if it's because, yeah, Florida State was really good last year. Maybe you just didn't see them play. And mind you, I'm not the biggest college basketball guy in the world, so I can't say, oh yeah, I remember this from this game and this from this game from him. That's just not my style. I'm more of a pay attention to guys kind of once they get to the NBA type person. But when I have a 309 texter say Williams better be the next Kawhi, laugh my ass off. Where was a Kawhi in this draft? This is what I want to know. Like, that's my thing, is that no matter who you took it for, after the top three went the way it did, was going to be someone with big question marks. That's why this is considered maybe the worst top of the draft since 2013, which was when you had Anthony Bennett and Victor Oladipo, and like, it wasn't that great of a draft, at least at the top. That was obviously the honest draft, which, by the way, quick side note, If you're a podcast person, on the Woj pod, so Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN's podcast, he did a 3-part podcast on how the drafting of Giannis Antetokounmpo came to be, and it was really cool. Like, I listened through it. The first part's basically about his upbringing up to the point where people started to realize, hey, this guy might be able to play basketball. Like, how all the shenanigans behind the scenes to try and, you know, have one team try and keep him hidden from the rest of the league, and then the actual draft night and going to New York for the first time, being the U.S. It's really good. I think in totality, the three parts are about an hour and a half. Totally worth your time. Easily bingeable. So it's a high recommendation from me. Back out to the phone lines. Tracy's in Woodridge and on the Score.
Can you hear me?
Gotcha.
Okay. Just want to say I'm different from the other callers. I love the draft pick, and here's why. I think we should shoot for a home run, and this is the year to do it. Most of the people to me that are calling, they don't really know much about these players as much as anybody else because of this pandemic and not having a lot of time. And, you know, the Bulls need so much. Why not go for a home run? This kid is very athletic. He can play defense. He has the potential to play offense. We need some athleticism and some toughness and some physicality. And, you know, back in 2006, we needed athleticism, but the mistake we made was we picked the knucklehead in Tyus Thomas.
Yes.
But this is the draft. This seems like a decent kid. Why not go for something instead of we need to take some risks. And so I like the pick.
I appreciate the call, Tracy. And yeah, there's like one of two ways you can look at a draft like this is, well, there's no sure things anyway, so why not just swing for upside? And when you look at the history of Arturis Karnišovas, especially in Denver, he leaned towards big swings. Now, in the last couple of years, he was able to do that because they had a set core and a pretty solid rotation. So whoever it was that was picked didn't have to contribute in year one. And that was taking a guy like Bol Bol in the second round, taking Michael Porter Jr. with the last pick of the lottery, or was it the first pick out of the lottery? One of those two. And letting them sit for a year, essentially. Now, Michael Porter Jr., obviously those back issues are still there, and who knows if he ever learns what defense is. And Bol Bol, I mean, just put on some weight, man. Like, I'm self-conscious enough as a fat guy, but watching Bol Bol, like, I worry that he's going to just, like, break in half every time there's contact. And that's not fair, because I know he puts in work, just like all the other guys, to try and, you know, put weight on, but good Lord, man, put on some weight. So I understand it from that regard. And I was interested to see if the Bulls pick would reveal anything about what they think about the current roster, what they think about, you know, taking this pick to be someone that contributes right damn now versus someone that may contribute a little more, you know, down the road towards latter part of the season into their second year. And I think what we saw is taking the swing and realizing that to start his rookie year, to start the year, I'm not saying it'll be this way all season, unless a trade of Thaddeus Young happens, which is still very possible, that, you know, Patrick Williams could be barely in the rotation to start in his rookie year. And you know what? That's okay. Because in the NBA, more now than ever, teams utilize the G League. Now, who knows if the G League is going to be around this year with COVID and everything else. But being able to let a guy, even a top five pick, develop a little bit is perfectly fine. It's normal, especially when you consider this draft and considering what types of prospects you were looking at. Like, let me run down the top after. So for those that are just kind of tuning in, didn't get to pay much attention to the draft, Anthony Edwards, one, to Minnesota, James Wiseman, two, to Golden State, LaMelo Ball, three, to Charlotte. Then the Bulls take Patrick Williams at four. Now, a lot of people are saying they need someone that can contribute more right now, this, that, and the third. Then you go to five with Cleveland, Isaac Okoro, a wing defender, something the Bulls could have used. I would have been fine if he was the pick at four. However, his shot is broken. That man did not even shoot 30% from three at the college line. You move him back to the NBA line, that's going to be problematic. He's really crazy athletic, but that shot needs a full rework. So that's something, he's a guy that's going to be a big negative on offense, pretty solid positive on defense. Onyeka Okongwu is just the center that went to Atlanta. That's just a guy that he does a lot of stuff pretty well, but don't know if the ceiling is there. And considering what the Bulls already have, yeah, okay. I liked him, but I don't know that it was the right. Like, I just don't see that much different between him and Wendell Carter. Seven, Killian Hayes with Detroit. He's a guy that you like his offensive game when you see it. However, he doesn't realize his right hand exists. He literally, I watched a decent amount of highlights, like trying to get highlights to be able to use on the draft show. Watched a good amount of him. He made zero plays with his right hand. The only thing he does with his right hand offensively is help catch the ball. So he's skilled and he's a decent size, but he's not super athletic. Okay defensively. And, you know, being able to only go one way makes it a little easier to guard him unless you're James Harden. At eight, Obi Toppin. The man's 22 years old and played in the A-10. And he still sucked at defense. So I don't know exactly what he does, but hey, he's a CAA client, and Leon Rose, who's a CAA guy, runs the Knicks, so that was going to happen. And Denny Avdija, who is the Israeli forward, He's a guy that's kind of like good at a lot of stuff, but his shot needs work. Is he athletic enough? Who does he guard? Big questions with him as well. So none of these guys that were there were going to be slam dunk, absolutely, unless one of those top three guys fell, and that didn't happen. So I understand the Bulls kind of picking their flavor of which issues would you rather deal with in your prospect, and they decided to go for the ones with the guy that could have the highest ceiling of any of these guys. 312-644-6767. That's where you call. That's where you text. I'm Rick Camp. I'm here with you till midnight. Let's go back out to the phone line. Justin's in Crystal Lake, and Justin's on the score.
Hey, Campy. What's up, buddy?
How's it going, man?
Hey, very good. Hey, I'm just calling in to say that I've been a largely dejected Bulls fan for years. Born in 1988. I was coming about to the game of basketball when they were just winning year after year. And given all that, I finally feel like I have a sense of optimism for the Bulls picks. I don't know anything about college players. I don't follow the game at all, but I'm at least willing to give these guys the benefit of the doubt for this one. And I'm very much looking forward to the season and seeing what the guy can do.
I appreciate the call. Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at, is if anybody's going to like feel worse about this new regime because of this pick before anything else has happened, that's kind of wild to me. Like, as much optimism as there was and just yearning for anything not Garpax, to be so willing to give up this quick, or at least be extremely skeptical of a new front office for taking a guy at four that, while he was kind of your stereotypical late riser, good athlete guy, there were other teams that wanted to take him high. So it's not like he's a guy you could have traded back far for to still get. So I was interested to see which way they went, to see what they valued in terms of skills and what they valued in terms of maybe what they think they can help develop skill-wise, and just the guy. You've heard some of the cuts from Patrick Williams's conference call. He's a guy that understands role, that understands that, listen, I'm not going to be the dude here, and he'll do what's asked of him. And for someone that has a good amount of developing to do, that may not have a big role to start his rookie year, especially in this rookie year, where I think there's going to be plenty of rookies, except on teams that like really suck, that are just kind of playing young guys to play them, like Oklahoma City, who I'm pretty sure ended up with like seven guys tonight, and they still have like 25 first-round picks moving forward. I'm exaggerating, mind you, but, you know, sadly not that far off. They actually took some of the bigger swings in the draft. Taking Pokuševski, I'm pretty sure I said that right? Question mark? It was like a 7-foot uber, like ball handler, shooter, incredibly skinny. Another guy that's crazy skinny, but really skilled. Kind of like maybe the biggest boom bust type of guy in the entire draft. But hey, they're not trying to win the next couple of years, so whatever. But like those types of things, realizing where you are. If the Bulls don't trade Thaddeus Young, where's Patrick Williams really getting his minutes this year? A lot of people still want to see what Markkanen has, still want to see what Carter can do. Thad Young is going to be there at least for part of the season. And then Daniel Gafford, a lot of people really like. So Patrick Williams starts his rookie year in an incredibly short offseason as your fifth big, most likely could change. He's your fifth big. He gets to learn. He doesn't have a ton of pressure on him to contribute right away. And it allows the Bulls development team, not just one person. Once again, shouts to Sean Respert, but still a development team. It allows them to work with him and get his skills to a higher level. So that way, when he gets more tick, he's able to have a better chance at success. This is what the NBA is now, especially for guys that are in that position, especially for teams that aren't winning right now. And that's okay. I'm not saying I absolutely love the pick or think he's going to be a slam dunk all-star at some point or super high-end role player. I don't know. But what I'm saying is, considering the infrastructure that, the Bulls front office is bringing in, I understand the pick, and they're betting on what they're building to be able to refine Patrick Williams, make him into a more well-rounded player, because he does have some tools in terms of his athleticism that are that you can't teach. 847 texter bringing up to me, Paul Reed to Philly, talk about our local boy. Yeah, so I didn't see if that was a pick at the very end of the draft or if that is as an undrafted free agent for Paul Reed. He was fascinating because there were some guys, especially in the analytics community, really, really high on Paul Reed. Like, back end of the first round, they would have been totally cool taking him versus being at the very end of the second round. So I find that pretty interesting. Obviously, a guy from DePaul who flashed and has definitely has his fans in the draft community as well as the NBA analytics community. So the fact that he gets to go to Philly is interesting. He's probably your primary, now that Al Horford's out of the picture, most likely your backup center to Joel Embiid. Doesn't have to play a ton. Just, you know, get those minutes, keep them afloat. I like that. I'm here for that. I think that's a solid role for him and a good landing spot, especially because he can do some stuff in the post, and they're one of the few teams that actually has it in their offense to really give some post touches. So I think it's a really solid pickup for Philly. Once again, Daryl Morey seems like he's having a good night. So, and he's not doing what some people thought of, well, it's Daryl Morey. He just wants to shoot a bunch of threes. No, Daryl Morey wants to get the best shots, and the best shot is a layup or a dunk, something right at the rim, then a free throw, then a three-pointer. That's how analytics work.
Rick, I just accidentally hung up on a guy when I was screening him, but he actually had a good question, so I'm going to ask it for him. His name was Tyler.
Thanks, Tyler.
He wanted to know, first off, where you envision Patrick Williams playing, like where's his role on the team? And also, more importantly, probably, who would you take number four overall in a pizza roll draft?
Okay.
Hey, this is him right here, actually. One second.
Okay. Should I just sit here in silence? Yeah, I won't sit here in silence. Okay. 847 texter tells me Paul Reed went 58th overall, third to last pick. It's kind of tough to like do this stuff, like host a show, even though I have two monitors on the draft directly to my right. So, like, I'm not great at multitasking, so whatever. All right, let's go out to Tyler. What's up, Tyler?
Hey, Rick, I have a question for you, and it's super serious.
Okay.
And I want to know, in a draft, what would you take number four overall with the pizza rolls? We're talking pepperoni, combo, cheese, sausage. You know, what would you take? But I think Patrick Williams is a little bit of a combo.
That's fair.
I kind of like it.
Okay. No. See, I wasn't sure if he was going like flavor or brand, because I could do both. But first overall for me is the pepperoni. Pepperoni is the best in terms of like the type of pizza roll. Then I go. Personally, I go cheese because I find the sausage can be a little iffy when you get into the pizza roll community. I go sausage 3 and I go combo 4. The only problem with combos is it can be overly greasy. So depending on how you're making them, whether it's oven, air fryer, by the way, the air fryer is clutch. My thing that I do with the air fryer, and I have like one of the egg-shaped ones, so it doesn't have as much surface area in terms of being able to lay everything, you know, so that they're not piled on top of each other. 360 degrees, 3 minutes, kind of shake them around, rotate them a little bit, 2 minutes, rotate them again, and then 2 more minutes, and you're set. They're hot. They are crispy. That's the key, because with a lot of combos, all the grease takes away some of the crispiness, which can really be a struggle. And the other thing is, the more ingredients you put in, the more you're trusting that company to have quality ingredients. So that's why I'm a little bit of a KISS theory when it comes to when it comes to my pizza rolls, keep it simple, stupid. Pepperoni, cheese, sausage, and then the combo. And an 847 texter is lying on two accounts, said I'm killing it, which is wrong. Also said peanut butter is good, which is also wrong. Peanut butter is disgusting. I will die on this hill. And everybody's turning off the radio right now. I can hear it. Because that is one thing that is a hill I am willing to die on. Peanut butter sucks. It smells bad and it tastes worst. My column. That is just one that I understand most people out there are wrong. But I'm okay being one of the few right people on this.
I respect that your opinion, but I'm sorry you're wrong. It's just, no. You're wrong.
It is. Some people say, how can I be a fat guy and not like peanut butter? Au contraire, I think it makes me more of a fat guy. Because healthy people eat a bunch of peanut butter. And if peanut butter is so key to help me being fat, I'm able to be fat without it. Which means I'm that much better at all the other things. So, on that note, 312-644-6767. Call me, text me, here with you till midnight talking about the Bulls and the NBA draft on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
I'm Rick Camp here with you till midnight. Bulls Executive VP of Basketball Operations, Arturis Karnišovas, is addressing the media right now. Let's take a listen.
He's for mega, 7-footer that can handle and shoot, very versatile, can pass, runs the floor, gets to the free throw a lot, high basketball IQ, you know, can do a little bit of everything. At that size, is very unique. He's a 7-footer, so plays with pace and high motor. So we were very happy with our both selections. So I can take questions now, Matt.
All right. Thanks, Arturis. Darnell Mayberry has the first question. Go ahead, Darnell.
Yeah, thanks, Matt. Arturis, my question is about Patrick. To us in the outside world, it seemed like a lot of people thought that his stock rose over the last few weeks. Is that true? And just from you guys' perspective, what do you think led to that? Did his stock rise? And if it did, what led to that?
I just think that the more study you do on Patrick, the more you realize it's, you know, like I said in the opening statement, that this is what the NBA is today, that we need players in our league that can play multiple positions. And he's able to do that. He's an elite athlete. He showed that in college. He wasn't as consistent, but he was such on campus in Florida State. He was at such a young age, and started to pick up at the end of the season. And we were able to spend some time with him, interview him, to get to know him a little bit. And, for us, he was the guy to get.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Cheryl Ray Stout with WBEZ. Go ahead, Cheryl Ray.
Hi, Arturis. At what point in the process did you target him that you knew that this was the guy that you wanted? And how difficult was it during this time of trying to figure out how to put this all together?
Well, we studied those guys for such a long time, from film, because we couldn't see him play, right, since March. So we studied a lot of film, a lot of video. We were ready, obviously, to select in June. But, you know, we got extra 5 months to do our diligence. And the more we were digging in his background, and, you know, we were able to actually see him, you know, that's how we came to our decision that this is our guy. And, yeah, like I said, you know, athleticism, versatility, multiple positions, you know, and obviously the fact that he was his ball handling is something that is very underrated, and people didn't see it in college, where for 3 years in high school he played point guard. So I was very impressed.
Thank you.
Eric Woodward with ESPN's up next. Go ahead, Eric.
What's up, AK? How you doing, man?
How you doing?
You know, obviously with this being the first draft and, you know, the new regime in the roles, how big did you guys feel like it was to set the tone with this pick to get the right guy? You know, was it any extra pressure, or just this whole process, did you feel like you had to pick the right guy?
Well, Eric, I never picked that high, you know, and in the draft, when you pick four, you need to like four guys. In a way, it was a little bit easier than liking 20 guys. And so, you know, it was, we realized that, you know, you're not, hopefully we're never going to be in the situation again and pick that high. So, you know, this was the opportunity to get it right. Because the projection of, players picked in the top five is much higher. It drops significantly afterwards. So we wanted to get it right, and Patrick was our guy.
Thanks, man.
Next question comes from Cody Westrum with 670 The Score. Go ahead, Cody.
How seriously did you consider trading up? How seriously did you consider trading down? And in those what did you learn just about asking prices around the league?
So, you know, from doing our diligence and calling around the league, the perception of around the league about certain players was very, you know, distinct. You know, you go from team to team, certain teams would have a player at five, and certain teams have that same player at 20. So there was a lot of split opinions around. You know, so in order to kind of move back, you really have to like players moving back. And we didn't feel comfortable, you know, doing that. And, you know, at four, we're really happy, you know, in that position. And because we knew we had a chance to pick Patrick, and we just stayed there, and we got our player.
Did you seriously consider trading up?
We did not. We always were waiting for any opportunities, but, you know, we actually were really happy to be at four.
All right. Mike McGraw with the Daily Herald. You're up. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, Arturis. I was curious, what do you remember the first time you saw Patrick Williams play in person? And was he a guy who really jumped out to you then, or was it a matter of his improvement from early last season to, you know, when you saw him before the draft that stood out to you?
So I knew that he got to Florida State campus when he was 17 years old, and, you know, watch his improvement through the year from game to game. He became more aggressive, took more charge, and, you know, attacked the basket more, shot the, you know, the ball better. You know, we watched a ton of, you know, interviews even prior to college, and, you know, to get a player of 19, just turned 19, and, you know, in August, to be that level of, you know, maturity at this point, and, you know, willingness to learn, it's hard to find. So, you know, the more we studied Patrick, the more we liked him.
Casey Johnson with NBC Sports Chicago. Go ahead, KC.
Arturis, how you doing?
How are you, KC?
Good. What is going to be the philosophy with Marco? I mean, the knee-jerk reaction was draft and stash guy, which I asked you about in August, and you said wait till the draft and you'll find out. Or are you going to bring him over and give him a chance?
Yeah, so we're going to stash him. for, you know, at least a year. He's going to stay there. But we were really excited to draft him because he's another guy that improved this year. You know, he was 51% from the floor, 41 from a three. You know, he averaged 16 and 10 in Adriatic League. And, you know, it was a very unique ability for us to see him because, you know, there's no other leagues going on. You know, nobody's playing. And, you know, we were able to actually to see his games, at least on video. We were not able to travel, but, you know, so and after collecting all the information, you know, we again identify Marco as our target at 44.
And I have a quick follow-up on another subject. Can you explain the decision-making process behind your qualifying offers to your restricted free agents?
I think we were addressing that looking at free agency and, you know, looking at the things that we need to add shooting. And you know, those probably decisions were there.
Thank you.
Yep. And obviously the roster spots were limited, so we're going to be really picky in free agency.
Even though we're told the NBA is a positionless game.
Yep.
What position would you, when the game starts, everybody sort of takes a position. What position would you say he is? And also, does this tell us anything or looking forward towards your philosophy or what is ahead for the future in the Bulls, given that he's so young and for, at least for now is more a defensive player who's playing with a mid-range game?
I think his perception was, you know, I didn't agree with perception that people have of him because they thought he's a raw athlete and he wasn't skilled. And when I saw his skill level and ball handling and shooting and ability to pass, I would disagree that he's, you know, he's just that, you know, raw athlete that, you know, he knows how to play. He just knows how to play. So I think another, you know, he's a versatile defender, so he can guard from 1 to 5. So I don't even know, Sam, what position he is. He's going to identify that when he gets here to Chicago. And, you know, and Coach Donovan, he's going to be able to use him. He's going to plug him in, whatever he feels like he's going to be able to perform right now. But like I said, he can play multiple positions. If you watch Florida State games, you know, even, you know, after baskets, he would be, you know, full court pressing on top, you know, guards, you know, and that's a very unique skill for, you know, such a, you know, athletic and, you know, big player.
I wanted to add something just quickly, just one quick one. You're sort of describing the point guard in high school, defensive, playing up court like that. You're sort of describing Scottie Pippen. Is that a comparison?
I don't know. Scottie was a very good player in NBA. I just think that when he played point guard in high school, he was very small. So I think he grew like 8 inches in high school. But he kept his skill set, and that is valuable. So when he got to Florida State, you know, he was obviously ready to do whatever coach is telling him to do. But I think I saw growth during the year, and he was taking more and more responsibility. You know, the season ended abruptly. But like I said, you know, we were able for 6 months to analyze his game, and then we're able to see him.
All right. Next question's with Jamal Collier from the Chicago Tribune. Go ahead, Jamal.
Hey, Arturis. I think all rookies are going to have a bit of an adjustment with the short turnaround, no summer league, et cetera. Patrick Williams is one of the younger rookies in this entire draft. How do you think that adjustment is going to go for him? And do you kind of envision it taking maybe some time for him to make an impact, or can he make one right away?
No, I think it'll take him some time, but I think he already knows a lot of players on the team. And, you know, one of them is obviously Kobe. They're both from North Carolina. They know each other from AU ball, familiar with each other. So I think transition is going to be a little bit easier. But again, I mean, you know, you come, you know, you had only 1 year of college basketball, you come into the NBA. So it's going to be an adjustment. But he's type of kid that, you know, he's ready to learn. He's very inquisitive, ask questions, what I can do better. And I saw huge growth over a very short period of time. So I'm not worried about that.
Another position I think that a lot of people were sort of had their eye on for you all in this draft was point guard and just sort of a playmaker. Is that a position that you think you necessarily want to address or going forward in free agency at some point?
Yeah, so we're going to sit down tomorrow. We're going to, you know, spend some time talking about free agency. Again, you know, we're trying to, you know, take one thing at a time. And we got through this draft, which is, you know, obviously we were very excited. We will address all the questions about the roster in free agency.
Thanks.
Rob Schaefer, you're up next. Go ahead.
Hey, Arturis. Wondering with the talk of a partnership between you and Billy, I'm wondering how much, and even talking with Patrick and throughout the pre-draft process, how much his role with the team has been discussed going into the season, and kind of how you see all the skills and the attributes that you've described fitting with this roster and helping this roster currently.
Well, I think, you know, the guys are just getting in a building. We just had a, obviously, you know, the in-market bubble for a very short time. Billy had a very few days, you know, to spend with the team. So those things and those questions are going to be answered once we, you know, start, you know, getting in the gym consistently. And once Patrick gets here, you know, we'll spend time with him. So I'm just looking forward for him to get here. And, you know, he can't wait to get to Chicago. It's a very short time between now and, you know, training camp, December 1st. So we're going to try to the learning curve is going to be very steep. So we're going to try to do our best to, you know, integrate him in our practice.
All right, that is Arturis Karnaschovas addressing the media. There's a lot of stuff there I want to get to. Also pulled up one of the draft guides to give you guys an idea of someone that I trust's evaluation on the Bulls draft picks and an undrafted free agent that the Bulls have signed that is of note that people who watch college basketball may know. We'll get to that on the other side. I'm Rick Camp here with you till the top of the hour on The Score. Camp back here with you for a few more minutes. Les Grobstein takes over at the top of the hour. Got some stuff I wrote down about what we heard from Arturis Karnaschovas, the Bulls executive VP of basketball ops, who just spoke. You heard it right here on The Score. But before we get there, so one of the draft guys that I respect the most is Sam Vecenie from The Athletic. And by the way, if you're not subscribed to The Athletic, you should be. If for no other reason than what his draft guide should cost on the like open market if it was sold independently is pretty much like what a year subscription to The Athletic is worth. So you should do it. So to go over where, how this draft kind of falls out and where the Bulls picks fall, by the way, the guy that I mentioned that they signed as an undrafted free agent, that's a notable name, Devon Dotson, the guard from Kansas, 6'2", 185, 6'3 wingspan. So that's a plus one for those that pay attention to the scouting world in terms of plus one is always height versus the wingspan. So Patrick Williams was a tier three guy. So the way Sam does it is tier one guys in a draft are like superstar potential, your Zions, your Ja Morants. There were none of those in this draft. In terms of tier two guys, there were only three of them, and that's obviously your Edwards, your Wisemans, your LaMelo Balls. Now, in Tier 3, there were a few guys. So, what was it, 4 through 11? So, that's like 8 guys there. And that's called high-leverage starters. And within that tier is where Patrick Williams is. He's number 9 overall on the board of Sam Vecenie of The Athletic. The next of the three Bulls players is actually Devon Dotson. He has Devon Dotson as the 38th ranked player for himself. And then all the way down at 68 is Marko Simanovic. Now, sometimes these stash guys, in terms of a big board setting, are not as high, but when obviously having a guy stashed overseas is actually preferable for certain teams like the Bulls, who are in a bit of a roster crunch, though they get pushed up their boards. And obviously you heard a little bit of what AK had to say. So that's just a little bit of where one draft analyst, and one that I respect greatly, has the Bulls picks. Tier 3, ninth overall for Patrick Williams. Devon Dotson, 38th overall, even though he ended up going undrafted. And Marko Simanovic at 68th overall. Okay, so a couple things before I go that I noticed and paid, you know, just made note of from what Arturis Karnišovas had to say. Just saying, first of all, that Williams is the new NBA. Multi-positional, elite athlete. The one that I think might have stuck out the most people, seeing everybody who was paying attention and part of the call on Twitter, was underrated ball handling, which could be a big thing. That he played point guard in high school for 3 years. So if you try to think tangibly of what that could mean in what his role would be. If Williams is, let's say, in the corner, the Bulls are playing pick and roll, or the Bulls are running pick and roll. So whoever the point guard is, probably whoever they sign with the mid-level exception, or if they start Kobe White, I would guess whoever they sign. Either way, drives down the lane, and they end up kicking out to Williams in the corner. As a guy closes out on him, it's the term attacking a closeout. Being able to, even if it's one or two dribbles, get to an open area, maybe hit a mid-range shot, or take that one or two dribbles, get to a point where you can make a decision. Now, decision-making and passing, not one of Williams' strengths right now. But in terms of having the ability to confidently attack a closeout for a guy, especially when he doesn't shoot the three that well, or at least is still developing that part of his game, that's huge to be able to do that. And with him being as athletic as he is, sometimes when you attack that closeout, or when you attack the guy who's closing out, attack the guy that's closing out on you. That's what it means. It's almost midnight. He's a guy that could maybe use that athleticism and get to the rim for either a layup, a dump off, or a dunk. So that's something that I find really interesting. The fact that our guy Cody Westerlund asked, did you consider seriously moving up? And AK mentioned that, yeah, they checked in, but never seriously considered it, and used the term if opportunities came to them. In other words, if LaMelo Ball fell to them. Like, if one of the rumors that was out there last week was, if James Wiseman was gone at 2 and Anthony Edwards had gone at 1, maybe Charlotte, really wanting a big, would take Onyeka Okongwu at 3, having LaMelo Ball fall to the Bulls at 4. That obviously didn't happen. And was asked about, AK was asked about the qualifying offer decisions in terms of no for Chris Dunn, no for Shaq Harrison, yes for Denzel Valentine. He brought up the need for shooting. And as I mentioned, with the roster crunch that they have, AK mentioned it, they're going to be, quote, really picky in free agency. So the mid-level exception is what most teams have to spend. So it's just under $10 million a year. So the fact that the Bulls could offer the opportunity possibly to a point guard maybe to start would maybe get them a better quality point guard, as opposed to taking that same money but going to maybe a team that's either better or has a smaller role, or maybe better with a smaller role. Just depends on what the player wants. And I think that's really going to be a key in this free agency, is since the money's going to be mostly the same for a lot of teams, what matters more? Is it winning right now? Is it role? Is it scoring? You know, where you are on the pecking order? And that's how a lot of these guys are going to decide where they go. So I think it's going to be really fascinating these next couple days. Free agency opens up on Friday, and I can't wait for all this madness that's about to continue. Once again, if you didn't hear it too, the Bogdan Bogdanovic deal to the Bucks, the sign and trade, is off. Don't quite know exactly what happened there. I'm sure we'll find out soon enough. But Bogdanovic is going to enter restricted free agency. And that second deal leaves the Bucks hanging a little bit. They're probably still looking to add another two guard. But I do want to thank everybody for tuning in for these couple hours. The draft was not an overwhelming draft in terms of talent, but it was at least fun. I had a blast getting to talk with you for these couple hours, hearing from Arturis Karnišovas and everybody that called in. Thanks to Adam Studzinski for producing. And I'm going to get out of here because I'm about to have a coughing fit, which is fun. Not COVID-related. I just need to drink more water.
It better
water.
Not be.
It's not COVID-related, I promise. Everybody be safe out there. Take care of everybody that you love and that you're in contact with. Think of other people. Les is up next. I'm Rick Camp, and this is The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.